He handed Max the letter and another that he had already finished. Take these to the Override Road and give them to the first respectable-looking travelers you see. One is for the Baden-Markgraf, the other for the Habsburg Duke. Freiburg and Vienna have already their own problems, but they ought to know what has befallen here. Gunther, go with and saddle a mount for him. Max looked unhappy, but he bowed his head, and pulling his gloves from his belt, strode toward the door. Gunther followed, looking, if possible, even less happy. Manfred shook his head. I fear death is in this house. Everard fell after he exited this very room. How fares he?
Quieter. May I move him to the hospital?
Do what you think needful. Do not ask my permission again. I am taking everyone to the Schloss. I barred folk from entering the village, and none heeded me. Now Odo has brought this on us. The Schildmauer, at least, I can bar against intruders. Every man must look now to his own house and to his own kin.
Dietrich swallowed. Mein Herr, all men are brothers.
Manfred made a long, sad face. Then you have much work ahead. Dietrich called on Ulf and Heloise to carry Everard to the makeshift hospital in the smithy. Neither Krenkel had yet accepted Christ. They had stayed, Hans had suggested, because their fear of death in the gap between the worlds exceeded their fear of death by starvation. But when he asked Ulf about this, the Krenk only laughed. I fear nothing, he bragged over the private canal. Krenk die, men die, one must die well.
With Charitas in the heart, an arm toss.
There is no Charitas, only courage and honor. One dies without fear, in defiance of the swooper. Not that one believes naturally in the swooper, but it is a saying of ours.
Then why did you stay behind when your vessel left?
If not from dread of this gap. Ulf indicated the Krenkern striding ahead of him. Because the Heloise stayed. I promised our spouse. Understand you, our man-woman nurse? Good. The nurse always stays at the nest. I swore a blood oath to it that I would by our Heloise stay. Some truth-seekers claim that the gap lacks time and so prolongs death forever. The Heloise feared that above all. By me is all death the same, and I snap my jaws at it. I stayed because of my oath. The stench when they entered Everard's cottage was a palpable thing. The steward lay naked upon his bed, save for a dry, filthy rag placed over his brow. Dark blue-black lines ran up his limbs from the groin and armpits. Of Irmgard or Witold there was no sign. Dietrich bent over Everard, thinking him dead, but the man's eyes flew open and he half rose in the bed. Mother of God! He cried. I must lance the boils before we move him, Dietrich said to Ulf, gently pressing the steward supine. The black rivers of poison running out the arms and legs suggested that he was already too late. Where are your wife and child? He asked Everard. Who cares for you?
Mother of God!
The steward clawed at himself, raking his skin with his nails and shrieking. Then abruptly he lay back quietly, panting and gasping, as if he had repelled an assault from the ramparts and was resting now for the next attack. Dietrich had washed the knife already in sour wine, and Ulf suggested heating it in the fire as well. The hearth smoldered with sullen red embers. No firewood stood ready.
She has fled, Dietrich thought. Irmgard has abandoned her husband.
He wondered if Everard knew. The boils were as large as apples, the skin stretched tight and shining around them. He chose the one under the right arm and touched it with the point of his scalpel. Everard howled and thrashed, striking Dietrich with his fist and knocking the scalpel from his hand. Dietrich knelt, seeing double from the blow, then groping among the rushes for the fallen blade. When he rose, Everard lay on his side, hugging his arms tight against himself and with his knees drawn up. Dietrich walked to the stool beside the bed and sat for a moment, rubbing his temple and thinking. Then he called Hans by the far speaker. There is a basket in my shed, marked with the cross of the Hospitallers, he told his friend. Bring to the steward's cottage one of the sponges you will find in it, but handle it with care. It has been steeped in mandrake and other poisons. Hans arrived soon and stood with the other Kränken to watch. Dietrich moistened the sponge in the water barrel behind the cottage and returned, holding it at arm's length. Then, as the Savoyard had instructed, he held it firmly against Everard's nose and mouth while the steward clawed at his hands. Long enough for sleep, the Savoyard had said, but not so long as for death. Everard suddenly went limp, and Dietrich tossed the sponge into the fire. Too long? No, the man's chest rose and fell. Dietrich crossed himself. Blessed Jesus, guide my hand. The blade's touch did not awaken the steward, but he groaned and struggled a little. Hans and Ulf held his limb steady. The boil was tough, and Dietrich pressed harder with the point. Suddenly it split, and a vile, superating black filth oozed forth, bearing with it the most abominable stench. Dietrich clenched his teeth and applied himself to the remaining boils. When he was done, Heloise handed him a rag that she had meanwhile boiled and soaked in vinegar. With this, Dietrich mopped up the slime and cleaned the man's body as best he could. I would not touch the pus, Ulf advised, and Dietrich, who had had no such intention, ran outside and bent double, vomiting out that morning's breakfast and gulping in great gasps of mountain air. Hans, following, touched him briefly several times. It was bad, Dietrich gasped. Very bad. Hans touched his antenna briefly. I must wash them. Then he said, the steward will not live. Dietrich blew his breath out. We must ever hope, but I think you are right. His wife has taken their boy and run off. He has none to care for him. Then we will do it. They placed Everard on an ambulance that Zimmermann had fashioned, and Ulf and Heloise took up the handles before and after. Dietrich walked alongside and held the litter steady as they negotiated the hill. He remembered how St. Ephraim the Syrian had fashioned 300 ambulances during a famine in Mesopotamia. We will need more, he told himself. Hans stayed to burn all the rags and clothing and kill whatever small lives they harbored. Ulf called to him, save a portion of the pus for my inspection. Why did you ask that? Dietrich said as they proceeded down the hill. I labored with the instruments in our craft's lazaret. Ulf told him, we have a device which Geshert left with us that enables us to see the small lives. Dietrich nodded, though he did not understand. Then he asked suddenly, why do you help us with the sick, if you have no faith in Charitas? The pagan Kränk tossed his arm. The Hans is now the Kränkish heir, so I follow him. Besides, it employs my days. Which was, withal, a Kränkish sort of answer. Wanda Schmidt died the next day, on the commemoration of St. Maternus of Milan. She kicked and writhed and bit her own tongue in twain. Black blood welled up from within her and spilled forth from her mouth. She heard not the words of comfort that Gottfried Kränk spoke to her. Perhaps she did not even feel the gentle pokes, which stood among his kind for caresses. Afterward, Gottfried accosted Dietrich. The hair from the sky would not save the woman of the blessed Lorenz. Wherefore did we pray his aid? Dietrich shook his head. All men die when God calls them back to himself. And Gottfried answered, could he not have called her more softly? Klaus and Odo brought Hilda to the hospital on an ambulance that they carried between them. When they had laid her on a pallet in the smithy, near the fire that Dietrich had built in the furnace, Klaus bid Odo return to the house, and the old man nodded distractedly and said, tell Hilda to hurry back and cook my dinner. Klaus watched him go. He sits on the stool before the fireplace and stares into dry ashes. When I enter the room, he turns his eyes toward me for only a moment before he is drawn back to the fascination of cinders. I think he is already dead, in here. He beat his breast. All else is mere ceremony. He knelt to stroke Hilda's hair. The beasts are dying, too, he said. Along the roadside I saw dead rats, several cats, and Hervig's old hound. Oh, one eye will miss that dog. Dear God, Dietrich prayed, will you scour the earth of all living things? What is this? He asked. fingering the sleeve of Klaus's jerkin. It looks like blood. Has she vomited blood? Klaus dropped his eyes to the stains and stared at them as if he had never seen them before. No, he said,